This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When bloggers or influencers post their outfit links, 9 times out of 10, I click on it and immediately exit because the price is bananas. It wasn't until recently that I clicked on something expecting it to be the usual out of my price range sweater, and it was under $60 at Quince. Quince has become my ultimate destination for luxury essentials that won't break the bank. Let me tell you about some of the gems I found at Quince. From their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50 to their washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices that are truly within reach. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Welcome back to Shrink Chicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I don't know if we have to keep saying that.
We don't, and I think we say that every time, too.
Because we're nervous.
I know, we're like, and then we just stare at each other, and we're like, how do we start this off?
I don't know if the beginning, like, ever gets easier, how, like, uncomfortable we feel. And then it, like, takes a few minutes to warm up.
Yeah. And then once we warm up, we're good to go.
Oh, I wonder if other people that do podcasts, if they start talking and then they start recording.
Oh my gosh,
oh
should
my
we
gosh,
try
do
doing that?
Oh, fuck, that's what they do, isn't it?
I tried to like run around the room to
you
like
did.
Give
you
myself
did.
Some
You were just doing jumping jacks.
Trying to give myself some energy.
Wait, this is such a difference between you and I, Jen, which is like you just went and started doing jumping jacks where I was like, I have to sit and ground myself. Like you were like, I gotta be ungrounded.
I gotta get like out of my body.
And I have to be more grounded because I'm already living in the clouds.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
This episode, we're going to have a conversation this episode.
It's a good transition about to make.
It's a good transition. We're going to talk about the fact that just about a year ago, we thought we were taking a hilarious 2-week break from The Office.
That was so funny.
The amount, it's wild to think the amount of cognitive dissonance that we had.
Okay.
That we thought, like, we're sitting here, like, people were already dying at the time, but
yeah.
We were, like, so unaware.
So confused.
So, I don't know, like so privileged and so entitled
yeah.
or some shit that we were, like, so unaware how much.
We're in denial.
Like,
I think, in,
yes.
like, it was, you know, when you're not experiencing something, like, right in front of you, it's harder to be like, oh, this is actually happening.
Yeah, so we're sitting here thinking, like, this is really funny. We're going to go home for 2 weeks.
We were like, why don't we paint the office so that when people come back in 2 weeks, it'll feel good. People will have their break. That was really funny.
So this episode is a reflections of a year of COVID.
A year of COVID. And this is going to be the time in which, like, the music comes in.
Yeah. Okay, we have a bunch of questions from people we're going to get to, but, like, first, like, let's talk a little bit about, I feel that I'm a very different person than a year ago. How do you feel?
I feel different in some ways and the same in other ways.
Okay, I would like to hear, like, okay, so for me, I feel like I have just done so much fucking growing and awareness that I never had before.
Mm.
And I think it's because we went through these different stages, right? So at the beginning, now keep in mind, for people that are listening, if you don't know, we own the Therapy Group. It is a wonderful therapeutic practice serving lots of states. We'll do a little plug for ourselves. But the deal with owning a small business at the beginning of this is we all flipped the fuck out.
We were really scared.
Like, we're sitting here like, oh, we've owned this business for 6 years. Is this it? Like, we sat and had a conversation about, is our business over? We didn't know what this was going to look like.
That was really scary. That was a really scary time.
And so it was so interesting to see in that moment, our response, our trauma response is over productivity. So what we did was...
That is an understatement.
So what we did was said yes to every single offer and opportunity. we went from working probably, like, you know, 40 hours a week to working 80 hours, I would say, during the pandemic.
Okay, and this was one of the things I was going to say about the ways in which I think I might have changed is, like, we did so many speaking opportunities during that time. This, like, speaking about anything in any sort of public forum was so terrifying for me. It's so easy now.
Like, last week we had a virtual speaking.
We had, like, an Instagram live.
Yeah, with that, or but we also were, we were keynote speakers at an event last weekend. And beforehand, I was like, oh, I feel nervous. And Jen was like, I don't. And I don't think those words have literally ever been uttered from us.
Right. I felt, there was such a switch. It was almost like you were taking it on.
Yes. So, like, okay, so in that way, let's go through a little bit, because we were became so overproductive, and we were just stupid. Let's use the word stupid, because we were stupid.
Okay, all right. Let's just go right into it. We'll use the word stupid.
Okay, because so maybe you have found us from listening to Off the Vine with our girl KB, which is to think back that we were on her podcast last
year.
At the beginning of this, talking about what to do, which was like, keep a routine, Zoom with your friends, talk to people. And, like, we gave some of this advice not realizing the serious mental health impact this next year was going to have.
Well,
we had no idea.
I think at the time it was decent advice, you know?
It's going to be till May.
It's
going to
be
a month. Oh,
so
my gosh.
At the time, I think it was decent advice. And then it didn't end, right? It just didn't end. And we're still in it, you know? And I think one of the things to note is I think it really helped us realize how resilient we are and also how adaptable we are, because I think at the beginning of any transition, it's really terrifying, right? And it was terrifying for different people in different ways.
Yes.
And obviously, we can only speak to our experience, and that's, you know.
I mean, I feel like, so some people were like, oh my gosh, my small business is completely going to fall apart. Some people were like, oh my gosh, I have the blessing of working from home. Some people were like, oh my goodness, I'm an essential worker. What is this going to mean for my safety? How at risk am I?
Right.
Like, it was
Or like, I have chronic health conditions. Yes. What is this going to be like for my health?
Yes.
And
or some people that are disabled, all of a sudden life became completely accessible
yes.
for them. Yes. Things they've been asking for their classes to be online, for things to be virtual.
Right.
All of a sudden, people that have these disabilities who've been asking for accessibility all of a sudden have it.
Yes. And I think that's that no matter what kind of transition it was a transition
yes,
for everyone.
Whatever, no matter what it looks
and,
like.
And, you know, like when we do therapy, we talk to a lot of clients during these times of transition, right? Where it's not necessarily a transition in a pandemic, but other transitions where transitions can bring up a ton of stress, right? No matter what they are, whether they're good, whether they're bad. And so we work with a lot of people in transition. And so this was a time in which everyone was going through a transition, different types of a transition at the same time.
I just realized that you somehow have one of my daughter's hair ties.
I was wondering. I was like, whose is this? I'm playing with it. And I'm like, was there a child in here? Because
that is what a Millie's hair tie.
It's really fun. It's really, I don't know. I've just been playing with it. And I'm going to continue to play with it.
What another interesting thing that so many of us learned about our tics and ADHD and sitting, you know what I mean? Because now many of us sit at a desk or sit in front of a computer longer than we ever have before. And so you notice different things of all of a sudden I play with things differently, or I notice these different things about myself.
Or you're watching your face on Zoom
I don't do it. I hide my self view. You don't do that? I cannot watch myself all day.
Yeah. I mean, my face is really small.
Okay. Yeah.
But.
Oh, because you have it on speaker view.
I have it on. Yeah.
Oh,
I have no idea. No clue. After all these months, I have no clue what it's called.
And to be fair, if you had asked me a year ago, what is Zoom and what is speaker view, I wouldn't have known.
Those are things you learn.
I have an entire new
vocabulary.
I have a whole new vocabulary. I had no idea this. Now, you would have said a year ago, you were the person who understands technology. I don't know anything. Look how much I know now.
I am so proud of
you. That's the way I've grown.
I think I've lost my technology.
Yes. Well, okay, so
I've just been overwhelmed by it.
Well, you know what? So you have become so much more extroverted.
Thank
with
you.
Your talking, but I've become a lot more introverted because I think I've had to. Because I couldn't go out and see people the same way before. I'm stuck at home, blessed at home. blessed at home.
Just in case my husband's listening, I am blessed at home.
With my husband and a toddler.
Yeah.
And, like, a ton of my coping skills was, like, seeing friends and, like, being social. And I didn't have that option anymore.
Yeah, I have become more extroverted because I like, everything around me is more introverted. I'm, like, forced to be introverted. Yeah. And it's, like, when someone pushes you in one direction, you want to go the other direction.
You're, like, I'm so excited to see people. Like, I've never heard you say that.
Never. But still, I know when things open back up.
You're not going to be.
Yeah. I'm going to be, like, I still feel not like staying up.
But, all right, so we had this really interesting thing of, like, this time in the spring of, like, a lot of cognitive dissonance because it still didn't get really bad where we are in Philadelphia area. And don't forget, I had my brother-in-law living with me for two months.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I forgot about it. I did forget.
My brother-in-law was living by himself in New York, was like, hey, I think, like, asked to come stay with us. So we had a guest because so many people left New York and we're so close to New York.
Wow.
Remember that whole thing?
I do. Now that you bring it back up.
Yeah. So, like, there's just a ton of change through the past year, whether that's our resiliency, whether that's our adaptability, whether that's different parts of ourselves, to sit here and say, we've never gone through anything like this before in our lifetime. You know, we're millennials. Millennials have gone through a lot of shit.
A lot.
But this is some trouble shit.
But also a lot of transitions.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you think about, like, our generation.
Well, a lot of historical events. A lot of historical trauma.
Historical trauma. Also, a lot of transitions. Like, even if you think about technology and the way that it's grown throughout our lifetime, right? Like it's great that we're at this point now. Yeah. I mean, it's not great there's a pandemic going on, but technology has really given us the ability to connect and continue to do our jobs.
Well, and there's been, over the past year, so much learning and so much unlearning.
Yes.
A lot of unlearning as well. Unlearning of our expectations and shoulds of ourselves. What I thought that I was going to be like as a mom. What I thought we were going to be like as business owners.
Oh, God.
Right? Like, there's a lot of shit we had to unlearn.
Okay, let's go through that.
Okay.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, the therapy group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
What do you feel like you had to unlearn about your expectations of yourself as a mom?
100% all of it. I really was like, I think it became, one, it was such an interesting time. My daughter had just turned one. We had my daughter's first birthday, and then
it was a meatball-themed party. It was a
meatball-themed birthday party, her first birthday, and then quarantine happened. So, like, my daughter's learning to talk and learning to walk, and I'm having, like, a mental breakdown. And, like, and we were so busy because we were saying yes to all these events, and there was no childcare. And, like, it's just, like, this completely chaotic thing.
Wait, can I jump in with the story?
I'm so scared to know what.
Okay. Recently, so Emily and I share a work calendar.
You know what I'm gonna say?
Emily and I share a work calendar. So I look on our calendar and it says, oh, it's her daughter's birthday on a weekend. And that's the weekend I'm going to be away. And so I called Emily and I was like, oh my God, I am so sorry. I am going to miss Millie's birthday. And she was like, what are you talking about? And so in my head, I'm like, oh, she told me about a birthday party and I forget. I forgot that, like, it's happening.
In my head, and I was like, I invited Jen. Did I plan a party and don't remember?
Like, we both were like, what don't we remember? And so I was trying to be polite and be like, I'm really sorry. I can't make it.
It was just the wrong calendar.
Right. And so, like, apparently I wasn't invited.
Okay. It's family only.
I am so far from offended.
Yeah, right. Do you want to come to my daughter and my nephew's joint second birthday?
God, no.
But it's going to be jungle themed.
Well, if there was like, yeah. I mean, like, I could make it my own. I mean, the last birthday party was so entertaining.
I mean, there was a lot of chaos happening. There's also a lot of alcohol at that.
Maybe that's why it was entertaining.
Probably, yeah, it was before, because that's when you could have a bunch of people in a house with no masks on.
I think that was the last time I had that much socialization.
The last party you went to was being a one-year-old.
And that's probably why I was like, oh, yes, the pandemic's happening. I don't have to be social after this. Like, ruined parties for the rest of time.
So, okay, so all this...
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's so funny.
That was an important story.
It was a very important story. I'm so happy that you told it. It was that needed to be told.
Had to be told.
But I think with motherhood, I had to learn how completely out of control that I really was. Mm-hmm. Because when they're babies, their first year, you're kind of rigid with their sleep and rigid with their eating and all this stuff. Yes. You have a lot more control. And then they're walking and talking, and you're like,
and they're not putting their clothes on.
My daughter's a nudist. You should. My daughter is a straight nudist. She's starting school for the first time. Next week is her first visitation day. And the biggest concern we had to talk about with the head of the school was, like, we don't know how we're going to keep clothes on her. They're like, well, she has to keep a mask on. I was like, oh, fuck.
She's just going to have a mask and no clothes.
Okay. Oh, so God. There was this whole other thing that happens with being a therapist at this time, which is we're sitting here like, what's going to happen? There's so many people out of need. We're like, cut the prices, cut the cancellation policy. We'll do these cheap $15 groups. Like, we're sitting here like, what do we need to do to happen? And what happened was our business doubled.
Because people were so stressed out.
But we sat here thinking our business is over.
Yeah.
And we noticed all of a sudden therapy's more accessible. Right?
People feel safer.
Safer.
I think too, there's something about the fact that, okay, there's a pandemic. I keep saying global pandemic, but like
pandemic
it's redundant.
It is, because pandemic just means a global.
Right, yes. Mm-hmm. I know. So there was a pandemic. and I think that because people had an excuse for their anxiety and their depression, that it felt more normalized, or that because I have something to blame it on.
Should we say spoiler alert, you were already depressed and anxious before?
Yes, yeah. Like, spoiler alert, it was already there, but it was harder to accept for yourself, right? So I think, you know, as difficult as this was for a lot of people, there's something about the fact that it gave people a reason to say, yeah, I'm depressed because of this, or yeah, I'm anxious because of this, and I am going to meet with a therapist who I can just do Zoom with, you know, like, mm-hmm. I was talking to my therapist the other day, actually. I was saying how it's so much better because it's almost like working out for me. Like, if I don't have an excuse where I'm like, oh God, I have to go outside and actually like go to therapy, right? Like, it kind of like breaks down those excuses where,
like, all I have to do is log on.
All I have to do is log on, right? So I think it's made it more accessible. People feel more comfortable going, and they have a more difficult time canceling because they're like, well, I'm inside.
No, no one's late. No one cancels.
Anymore. No one's late. No one cancels. Right. So
before, it used to be like you'd always have at least like one no show or one late thing during the week. Now that doesn't happen.
Absolutely.
So somebody had written in, are you guys experiencing therapist burnout and how do you cope with it?
Right now, I'm not.
We're not currently, but Jen and I
have
had to make the decision a few months ago of changing up really how many people we could see in a week, right? Yeah. Like, the way that we used to function before as clinicians is not possible anymore.
And I think that that's also the case for a lot of clinicians. Yes. You know, we're on different kind of Facebook groups where there's all these therapists talking about different things. We talk to a lot of therapists. The amount of clients that we could see in person is very different than the amount of clients we could see on Zoom.
Yeah. Like, I could see 8 in a day in person, which I should – for any beginner therapist listening, don't ever do that. Don't do that.
I saw 10 in a day one time.
Oh, I don't even know how to respond to that.
You don't have to.
How much coffee was in your system? I feel nauseous even saying that number.
I'm sorry.
But now I can't see more than 3 in a row.
Yeah, same.
Because, one, my eyes hurt. And I have to walk around. Yeah. And it's like, it's really hard.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
Also, you realize, like, what positions you sit in? I'm like, when I do therapy, I don't think I've ever said this to you. I, like, put my knee up and I'm leaning on my knee. Oh, I'm literally, like, contorted.
That's really just sweet, wondering. Actually. I find that very endearing.
Well, it's kind of like my body language is, like, very open.
Very open.
Very, very
that's
open.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Also, my chair at my house is not as good as it really should be for sitting all day. Well, as opposed to, like, our really comfy furniture in our office.
Yes.
So a lot of things changed. So are we experiencing therapist burnout? No, not right now. But we also had to make a very intentional decision a few months ago to move a lot of things around and to hire help.
Yeah. And I think that another thing, too, is that, like, when you go to grad school to become a therapist – you really process your own shit so that you don't bring it into the room with your clients, right? So that you can really separate it out. This is a time in which us as therapists, we're going through things just as much as our clients were. And
I mean,
so
my kid was screaming. Like, there's, like, the amount of last night in session, my client was like, hey, do you need to go? I can hear her.
No way.
You have to tell this story. Oh, my gosh. I think this client listens to the podcast. So, all right. So, this client can hear. I can hear Millie outside my door singing happy birthday.
To herself?
And then screaming. And I'm like, oh, my God. Why does he have her outside the door? What is happening? Can somebody take it to a situation? And my client's like, do you need to go take care of that? I'm like, no, her father's out there. I don't know what's happening. Maybe she has to poop. I'm not really sure.
Is that what she does when she sings happy birthday? Every time she sings happy birthday, she poops.
Screaming and like, that would be so
That would be
funny.
Incredible.
No, but same. I walk out the door. Okay, after my session, finally it ends. I walk out the door. She has compiled every candle in the house. She has moved it onto a box outside my door. And she was pretending to blow out candles while singing happy birthday to herself.
That is the cutest thing.
Is it? It was very cute. Not in the moment at my session,
but
though.
But also, as long as she didn't, like, light them on fire. Right? Like, she's lighting them on fire, like, lighting your room on fire. And then it turns into a whole different experience.
Listen, I'm a pretty free-range parent, but I don't think I'm giving my kid lighters.
Maybe this is, like, part of the reason why I'm not having children is, like, I'm just assuming that they're going to light me on fire.
Actually, her second birthday is fire-themed.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Light it the fuck up, bitch.
Meatballs to fire. What will her third birthday be?
The episode title of this episode be Meatballs to fire. Yeah.
Yes.
Like Nikki's not going to let us choose that.
Nope.
It's not good enough SEO.
Not SEO,
no,
right?
Not SEO proof.
Not SEO friendly. So are we experiencing burnout? No, not now. We really talked about setting boundaries for ourselves. And I think that.
It got pretty bad there for a while.
It got really bad.
We hit a serious down point.
And we would text each other just to be like, hey, like, I'm really struggling. Are you struggling? Because we'd be struggling on, like, very similar.
Yes.
Usually we balance each other out.
Yeah.
That's when we know things are, like, okay, right?
But I do supervision. I run a supervision group and I have individual supervisees that I take, that I work with collaboratively. They're amazing. It's so interesting, you know, for people to come in and be like, yeah, I'm fucking losing my mind. I'm like, yeah, same, man, right? Like, therapists really took on a lot this year.
A lot.
And I also just think owning a business, there was an additional pressure to be there. Like, there's still the culture of the hustle.
Yes.
That, like, you have to keep hustling and you have to do more and you have to be so productivity. Capitalism. Oh. But, you know, I always have to add it in every time.
It's so beautiful. We should just record a, like, a little, like, bit of you singing Capitalism so that we can Brendan can just, like, play it.
Every time.
Every time. And maybe that can be, like, the intro music, right?
No one's going to listen to this anymore.
Nope. Okay. All right.
So yeah, it's been a whole thing. But, okay, someone else had asked in. Do you enjoy doing the podcast after all this time?
Sometimes.
It's still so overwhelming for you every week.
So it's feeling a lot better, actually. It honestly
I love it. 100% from Emily, but it's different for you.
It depends on how introverted I'm feeling.
Okay, in that moment.
And because truly this is so opposite from what comes naturally to me. It's coming more naturally to me now. But it really is just so opposite from how I function. But from the amount of feedback we've gotten from this podcast, I recognize how helpful it is for people. So that's the thing that drives me, is just that I know how helpful it is and how much it's giving to people. So
I think you like it more than you let on.
When we're in it, I'm like,
you're fine.
I'm okay, totally fine.
You're so
fine when
anxious beforehand, and you're so anxious.
And I have to run around the room.
Yes. And then you're like totally present and totally in it. You're so amazing.
This is how I get with everything. Social activities, though, too. I'm like, oh, I don't want to go. But when I'm there, I'm like, having the best time.
You're slow to warm.
I am slow to warm.
You're a crock pot.
That is so beautiful. Thank you. Slow cooker.
Oh, slow cooker. That's what a fucking crock pot is.
Really? The same thing?
This.
Listen, I'm not. Nikki's listening to this, just shaking her head yes. Staring at me directly in the eyes, shaking her head yes. I'm not great at cooking.
Same fucking thing. Well, at least this year you got HelloFresh. That's one thing you did different.
Okay, but let me tell you, cutting carrots diagonally is impossible. And I am going to write a strongly worded letter to HelloFresh.
If you do HelloFresh, you know that they overuse the carrots. Like, they must have some type of deal with the carrot industry.
They have to.
Because they have every fucking meal's carrot.
And, but for some reason, you have to cut them diagonally.
I don't know why.
Which is basically impossible. So I need to talk to them.
Okay. If anyone knows anyone at HelloFresh, one, can you sponsor us? Two, can we cut the carrots a different way?
I made the firecracker meatballs last night.
Wait, fuck you, I made them this week with the sesame seeds. So Jen and I, we use the same meal program.
Because we don't talk to anyone else.
We don't
talk
to them. Okay. So, in hindsight, what things would you do differently? Everything? There's a lot of shit we'd do differently.
Well, let me think. I didn't think about this at all beforehand. What would you do differently?
We didn't look at these questions. Would I do differently? I wouldn't have worked so fucking hard last spring. I would have rested. I would have tried to talk down my scarcity mindset. I would have tried to calm myself. We had no idea what was coming, and we were just so worried about our clinicians. We have the most amazing
clinicians. And that's the thing about owning the business. We were worried about our clinicians. We just wanted them, because it's like everyone was worried.
Yeah, everyone was so scared.
But I'm going to say something that maybe will be annoying. I don't wish we did anything differently.
You don't?
No.
At all.
Just because I feel like we learned from it. Like, I feel like we really, you know, like we had to go through having that scarcity mindset, having that transition, freaking out, doing all of those things to get to the point we are now where we're like, listen, we have to set boundaries. We know that we're going to be okay.
It's true.
And so
we had to learn it.
We had to learn it. The only way we were going to learn it is if we went through it.
Oh, you're right, as always.
That's why I was going to say this is going to be annoying. But
it was annoying.
I know,
but
I prepped you for it.
I know. It was annoying, but also, like, it was right. It's hard. There was times, I guess for me, there's a part that does come with the mom that I do wish I had slowed it down more. Mm. And
you still can.
Oh, I know. Do I? Yes, I can. Yes. No, I mean, it's a hard thing to say. Like, I sit back and think of some times where I, like, really felt like I was losing my mind. And I had I remember saying, like, all right, as long as this is done by Memorial Day. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I remember having an actual conversation. I remember being this is so funny. I remember being fucking pissed that we was quarantined during Mother's Day. And I was like, I sure shit know that it's not going to be quarantined during Father's Day. These fucking dads don't do anything and they're going to get it. And that was wrong.
That was wrong.
Because every holiday is quarantined.
And
now.
Right. And the dads were going to get it too.
Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14-karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
But then also, I'm in a different situation because I don't know if I've even talked about it on the podcast. Yeah. You know, if you follow us on Instagram, which is that I almost lost my dad to COVID.
Oh my God. That was such a scary time. I don't know why I'm saying it was a scary time.
It was.
It was really scary.
Which is that we thought that my dad was not going to make it, that he was in the hospital for a long time. He was still in recovery of it now, months later.
Having to think about that on my end was scary for you. I can't imagine what you were going through.
Uh-huh. And so there was a part that you start to think, oh my gosh, like, did I spend all that time with people? Like, it just makes you, I remember having a thought when this all happened at the beginning when I was like, are we all going to die from COVID? Like, what's going to happen here? Like, we don't know what the rates. And I remember thinking to myself, I cannot believe every minute I wasted being upset about my weight and I'm going to die from a fucking virus.
Wow.
Like, I can remember thinking like, oh, this is when I am fucking done with body shaming.
It puts like, so much into perspective.
If I fucking die from this, I am going to. I have spent so much time hating my body.
Wow.
Fuck this, I'm done. That for me was a transformative.
It was like a turning point.
Yes, that was really transformative for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because like, how could it not give you perspective? To go through that, right? Like that what matters.
Yeah.
And I think that's important if we're going to like wrap it up in a nice bow because like how could we not? Is that like this whole thing really gives you perspective on what is important and
Whoosh. It is. I mean, it just makes you so much more aware of your privilege, your life. I just feel like I do think I've learned more in the past year. Like, you know, we say in therapy, like, sometimes when people come in it for individual therapy, if their partner doesn't go too, that they can end up outgrowing their partner. I feel like this past year was a hyper fucking drive, Elon Musk to the goddamn fucking moon, speedway to learning.
I was like, this, that should be a book title. That, and we're going to write a book after this, and that is the book title.
No one would buy that
book. No one, they'd be like, up too only long. I can't even read the beginning of it.
Yeah. So you wouldn't do anything differently?
No, I think you
would have ordered HelloFresh sooner.
100%. That is what I would have changed.
Okay.
I would have also tried to move out of my one bedroom sooner, too.
Oh, my God. You were in a one bedroom for part of it.
For most of it. Yeah. It wasn't the easiest, I would say. But once again, you learn. You learn from every hard thing that you go through. I can say that now.
I spent a lot less money this year.
Me too. That's a good one. Realize how much you end up spending on going out.
I learned a lot about finances.
Ooh, same.
This year that I really came to a different relationship with money.
Especially from that one podcast we did.
She changed my life.
Incredible. Me too.
Amanda Clayman.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Check that one out.
So someone asked, is this pandemic getting more draining the longer it goes on? Feels that way. It's really different because, I mean, so we both have the privilege right now of being fully vaccinated. My mom is fully vaccinated. My dad has had his first shot.
After your parents had COVID, were they still afraid, or were they feeling like, okay,
My mom said she felt like superhuman. My mom said the first time after she went to the grocery store after COVID, she was like, man, I have no fear. Like, I have these antibodies. Yeah. But with my dad, because they're was heart stuff and lung stuff. I think there has been fear consistently.
Which makes sense, yeah.
Even though he's now home and he's now safe, it was so bad and it was so scary. And it was so serious. I mean, the hospital called us and said, prepared. You can remember that day.
I remember this, yeah.
You remember the day it happened.
Yes.
And they called us and told us that. And it was 2 days before Christmas.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that
so
was
I think
a
there's
scary
still
time.
Fear around that, but now my dad's had his first shot, so it's so we're also in a different place, right? So yes, in some ways I think it's draining, but in other ways I do think there is absolutely an end in sight, and we're also big believers in getting the vaccine and wearing masks and following the fucking rules. That's also because we're kind of
rule followers.
Yeah, in general. Wouldn't you say?
I would 100% say that. One time in third grade.
Yes, go. What are you going to say?
Time in third grade, I got yelled at by a teacher and I cried hysterically. That was my story.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that.
Getting in trouble is just like.
Surprises me. Yeah. We're going to do some listener Q&A.
Yes.
So that's it.
I mean, they're just random.
They're just random. We're just going to answer some random shit that people have been writing in that we haven't got to. And so we wanted to just make a little time today. I'm going to do the first one. How do you feel about that?
Go for it.
I feel good about that. Okay. Somebody had asked in, how to handle telling a friend I'm pregnant when they're having trouble conceiving. She has PCOS and some other health factors that don't make it easy. I'm excited for her to be an aunt, but I don't want to hurt her either. I think it's going to be all about the approach. At no point does that get easier. At no point does fertility stuff get easier. As someone who is trying to have another baby, it's not going well, as you guys all know. I'll update you when it is. Still nothing, folks. I feel like I should have like a carrot in my mouth.
Yeah, like that's all,
folks.
Nothing, folks.
So I guess if I was in the position on the receiving end, I would want to hear, listen, I want to be direct with you. And also I want to give you space to feel however you feel about this.
Right.
And I love you, and I am imagining this might be hard for you to hear. But maybe it's not. Sometimes, like, there's certain people who told me they're pregnant, they're like, it wasn't hard for me to hear. And then other people that I was like, that one hurts a little more. So a lot
of... after you had Millie? Like, was it harder before you had Millie?
It's definitely harder. Now I'm so distracted by my toddler.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Like, do you think...
Yeah. For me, for a lot of people, secondary infertility, which is, like, after you've had your first child and then you're experiencing infertility, for a lot of people, they tend to have an even harder time. Now, because I went through it the first time before Millie and it took it such a long time, that was really hard. Now I'm so insanely distracted and also so insanely in love with right. Millie. She's like the coolest.
And she's got a cool hair thing too. It's just really helping me.
I mean, that girl's hair gets washed never, so enjoy that. She's
cool. Same. Yeah, same.
Yeah, you guys have that in common.
We do.
Curly hair. So I think it would just be about, I love you and I want to be transparent. I want to be honest. It's worse if you don't tell them directly and you like they would see
it like online. Dance around it.
Yes, dance around it or just totally pretend like you're not having this very real experience, right? Yeah. So if you just, a lot of times people don't want to upset you, so they just don't say anything about it and right. that can feel invalidating and minimizing and isolating.
Right.
So I would invite you to invite it into the room.
It's a lot of inviting.
It's a lot of inviting. So we're going to pull out the red carpet for that situation with all those invitations.
So you're basically saying, like, acknowledge where they are, right? You can tell them, but also acknowledge their space. And also recognizing that it's okay for them not to be excited for you. Yeah. It's for them to feel, because they might be going through a lot. And if they're not able to share in your excitement, doesn't mean they don't love you. Doesn't mean they don't care about you. But they might be going through their own stuff, and that needs to be okay too, to not take that reaction personally.
Yeah. All right, you pick one.
Friend. Oh, I didn't read them before. Should I be reading them before?
No, it's funnier this way.
Okay. Friend reaches out after 7 years of silence, says, I'm sorry. What do I do?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Ask yourself, how are you feeling, right? Like, is this a friendship in which you want to rekindle? Are you feeling like this is something that's missing in your life? I think that rebuilding a friendship, rebuilding any sort of relationship, takes work. And so you have to be willing to put that work in order to rebuild that. And also the relationship might look different than it used to look. And so to almost reconceptualize, what's this relationship going to look like? You know, like, what do I want it to look like? Maybe you're not going to be as close as you used to. So ask yourself, how are you feeling? Right. Yeah.
I also think just because someone comes back to you and gives you an apology, it doesn't mean that you owe anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, like, just because someone's like, I'd really like to rekindle this, like, you also have an option too. Like, it's not just up to the other person to set that. So for you to decide, do I want to have a relationship with this person or do I not? Or do I simply not know yet? And you can also say that, like, we can explore that, but I really can't guarantee.
Right. Like, give yourself the space to even think about it, right?
Especially 7 years of silence, right? So, like, did they just go? Like, I just have a lot of questions.
Me too. And did they just say, I'm sorry, right? Like, I feel like.
Did they say hi first?
Did they say hello? How did they do it? Did they text you?
Was it text? Was it call? Yeah. What was it? Yeah. What, like,
was it a DM? Yeah.
Maybe you'll have to DM.
A lot of questions.
Yeah, you'll have to tell us. I like this question. Best premarital counseling advice.
Oh, that's good.
I think it's.
I have so many things. Yeah. That's why it's taking me so long.
My biggest thing, if I want to sum it up in one word, is try. We think that relationships should be organic. We think relationships should be easy. We think that they should come naturally. I want you to instead try. Try to be nicer. Try to be more aware. Try to be, you know, whatever these things, to think about what does actively and intentionally trying in my relationship look like.
And addressing the issues that feel very uncomfortable to talk about, right? So, like,
let's talk about sex, baby, and finances, baby.
Is that going to do? Nancy's.
Finances. Nancy!
This is what I heard. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about Nancy's baby. Who is Nancy?
She's my friend. Okay, wait, that is really funny because, okay, there's a show on Netflix called Bonding, which is, like, really, it's actually very good. It's in its second season, really easy to watch, highly recommend.
What took you so long? Why haven't you told me about this yet? I've been looking for shows.
Okay. It's called Bonding, and it's about a girl who is a dominatrix and who's also in grad school to be a therapist. But there is a show of someone coming to terms and a woman trying to really explore masturbation in her own orgasm, and she names her clitoris Nancy. And so, so she's like, there's like a scene of her masturbating where she's like, I love you, Nancy, and I cannot stop thinking about this vagina with you talking about that. And now you guys all have to go watch
it. I'm sorry. So what you're saying is you didn't say, let's talk about Nancy's baby.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Finances, baby.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. Okay. So, what are we talking about? Oh, premarital. Oh, talk about all the things.
The best premarital advice is make sure your partner knows where your clitoris is if you have one.
Yes, that's a good talk. Talk about the things that feel very uncomfortable to talk about, right? When you do premarital counseling, you talk about all those uncomfortable things. You have someone who's initiating those uncomfortable topics.
Yeah. I wonder if it's, I don't know, because we didn't do, a lot of people I know do pre-cana.
Yeah.
I wonder if they talk about sex in that because it's religiously based.
Maybe
it
depends on the pre-cana.
Yeah, someone tell us. Someone who's done pre-cana, can you
let us know?
Slide into our DMs.
And
I want to know. Yeah.
What do they say about it?
Yeah.
Slide into our DMs and tell.
Yes, we want to know.
I hate saying slide into our DMs.
I like it. I feel like it's been normalized. It's not sexual anymore.
No. Just like the words. I don't know. I can't
Slippy
even.
Slide.
Yeah, I don't know why. Nancy's baby. That is going to be the name of our episode. Once again,
Nikki's not going to
not
let us
SEO
do that
friendly. Yeah,
no.
Okay.
No.
Next, we're sorry. Drank too much coffee. I ran around the
Someone
room too
just
many times.
Stop listening now.
Okay. Oh, I like this one. How to overcome procrastination, fear of failure, or not being perfect.
That's a really good one.
It's a really good one because we struggle with this too.
One, do you have ADD?
That's something to get checked out.
It is. I mean, like that is a really common correlation. This is it. So what would it be like to get started, right? So, and like the reason I say like, do you have ADD is because there are a lot of times people that have ADD or ADHD or some type of neurotypical situation, they would rather submit the final draft than do the rough draft, right? If that makes sense. And so there's this part of saying like, okay, one, how does my brain work? I do not think procrastination is a bad thing. I have to tell you all something. Which is procrastination is not a problem. It's only a problem because we've been told that it's a problem for a neurotypical person. Some people simply work better with procrastination. Now, that is not ideal if we're talking about the idea of perfection and failure, right? These two things are very different, but sometimes they can be intercorrelated. And so the thing I would ask yourself is, what's it going to be like if I fail? What would failing look like? And how are the ways that we translate this together? Jen is ferociously looking for something on her phone.
Okay,
what are you looking for?
I'm looking for a law that I read about. So,
a law?
Yeah, because we talk about, you know, it's common that we talk about how procrastination is something that's bad in some way. The fact of the matter is, it really works for a lot of people.
It does for me.
So there is.
Is it for you too?
Yes.
I love procrastination.
And so there's something called Parkinson's Law that was actually very validating, and I'll tell you what it is. It's the adage that work expands so to fill the time available for its completion, right? So if you're waiting until the last minute, if you're someone who waits until the last minute and it like, it really amps you up and you like get the work done
that's
really
me.
Quickly, that's me too. That is actually a law that's pretty helpful, right? You know the people when you
Can you read that definition again?
Yes.
What is that?
Parkinson's law is the adage that work expands so as to fill the time available for its completion.
So if I give myself 30 minutes to do something.
You'll be able to do it in 30 minutes.
If I give myself 3 hours.
It will take you 3 hours to do it.
Even if it's the same fucking thing.
Exactly. So you know those people.
This is my entire life.
I know. So, but I think it's validating in a lot of ways for the people who procrastinate. And are angry at themselves for procrastinating or hard on themselves for procrastinating, this is something that's very normalizing because if you're someone who can get things done quicker, if you wait until the last minute, you go on with your bad self.
Fuck, that really was validating for me as
that's
well.
That's why I was ferociously looking for this.
Yeah, you were ferociously.
Because I was like, let's actually drop some truth in here instead of us just like talking out of our asses the whole time. You know?
I feel like we have a lot of good things.
We
to
do.
Say.
I know. Okay. I know. Sorry. I invalidated us.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Let's not minimize ourselves.
I know.
That was
I'm
imposter
sorry.
Syndrome. You all just heard it. That was real
time. It came
life.
Out.
That was real time.
I just felt like if I put law behind something.
When you say law, though, you're not talking about legal.
No,
you're
no. It's
about,
not
like, Murphy's law.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Like that's like a
like
evolutionary
a, yeah,
or
totally,
like a
yeah.
philosophical,
philosophical
law.
Law. Yeah, something.
Okay. For some reason, philosophical makes me think of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Okay, I have another thing to say.
I'm sorry. What?
I don't know why. I took a philosophy class in college, and for some reason, the only way I would study is like make note cards.
You made a lot of note cards.
You
in school.
Cannot do that for philosophy. It is impossible.
Because it's just abstract.
I would write these huge note cards, and then I had a panic attack right before the test.
Well, it's like there's a difference between memorizing. You're such a good memorizer.
I'm incredible at memorizing.
And there's a difference between memorizing and knowing. And learning.
Yes. My memorization skills incredible. Yes.
Okay, I want to answer another question, which is somebody wrote in how to deal with disappointing someone.
You want to go first?
Yeah, let's talk about apologies.
Oof.
Let's talk about how to apologize.
I like it.
Which is that an apology is not, I'm sorry you feel that way, or I'm sorry I said that, or I'm sorry I made a mistake. It's not some bullshit fucking thing. Apology is sincere, it is intentional, and it is complete acknowledgement, right? So we have all these different types of apologies. And one of the things we want you to think about is, how do I apologize to other people when it's? Do I accept responsibility for it? You know, not just like I said, like this bullshit of like, I just hope that, I'm really sorry you felt that way.
Like, who's that? I don't know who that voice is.
I think it's Trump.
Have you been practicing that? It's pretty good.
I don't know. I just talked about SpongeBob SquarePants. This is a great episode. No, this is going to be.
Yeah, we're sorry. We should do that thing where if.
Oh, let's apologize. Okay. Let's apologize. That's okay. Good. So let's say that you're all listening to this and you're pretty disappointed by this episode. So I would start by looking at you directly in the eye, if, you know, we were human beings in person and not just audio. And I would say, you want to know what? I'm sorry. And I bet that really was hard that you came with an expectation that I did not fulfill. I wouldn't sit here and say, well, your expectations were too high, or, well, that's not my fault. I would say, you wanted something different, and I know that this didn't meet that. It doesn't mean I have to take complete ownership and say, I hate myself, and I should have been different, and I don't need to, like, go downward. But I could say, I can find some truth in whatever you're saying when I apologize.
Yes. So I would say that's one end of it, and I'm going to give the other end of it, too, is that, like, sometimes people's expectations of you might be too high, or they might like, and they are not your responsibility to live up to, right?
Like, so like every week we can't make every person happy that listens to this podcast.
Exactly. We are genuinely sorry
that we can't do that. Yeah. We wish we could make everyone happy,
but it's impossible.
Literally, when it will happen.
And you know, so I guess another example is like a parent, right? Sometimes we grow up with parents who have like very high expectations, and their way of expressing that to, oh, you really disappointed me, mm-hmm. right? And so we live our lives based on what they want for us as opposed to what we want for ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So also kind of having a honest conversation with yourself of, what is my responsibility, right? How much responsibility do I take for other people's emotions, yeah. right? That there's a balance to find there.
Mm-hmm. Like, here's a great example. I upset my daughter every single day because I won't let her watch Baby Shark every single minute of the day.
I'd be upset,
and
too.
That is very disappointing to her.
How do you apologize to her?
I say, I know you want to watch Baby Shark, and that we watch that in the afternoon after nap.
You're so good.
So we have a set time of when I provide that need for Baby Shark.
Right. And it is a need.
She's allowed to listen to the song, but we only do screen time after nap in the afternoon.
Well, I think a really important thing is you acknowledge what she's feeling.
And I'm also very transparent about what I can actually provide, right?
Right.
So, like, in our house, it's just, like, a thing that we do that, like, that's it only because she's – listen, I'm not an anti-screen time parent. She's just a goddamn monster if I let her watch it before nap time. So, like, there's no other reason besides that. Or else, I'm like, I'd be like, hell yeah, let's check it out. I love television. Fuck yeah.
I love Baby Shark.
Well, I don't love Baby Shark Goes to Space. The song Baby Shark is not bad, but when you watch Baby Shark
Goes
to Space every single day, it's
horrible. Wait, Baby Shark Goes to Space?
It's the movie. It's the Baby Shark movie on Netflix. You wouldn't know. Because your mind has not been
How
schooled.
Does Baby Shark go to space, though?
I don't know, but there's also Santa Claus is in it. There's a lot of different things. They go through all the holidays. I have no fucking idea. I, you know, not totally present. But,
oh
so.
Wait, is Santa Claus in space?
None of it makes sense.
Oh, my.
Everyone's on acid.
Yeah, clearly.
Honestly, it's one big acid trip. Okay.
Oh, my God.
So, but here's the deal. I don't lie. I do not say, oh, yeah, 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 and then don't go through with it, right?
Right.
So part of not disappointing people is, also, like, one, you're going to disappoint people no matter what, but two, it's also, like, be kind of honest about what you can provide in a relationship. If I can't give more, then I try to tell them that. I try to be very honest. Same thing with my clients. My daughter will always come first. They know that.
This is actually such a good segue into another question.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's the last one. That's
okay,
perfect.
Last question. Tips for encouraging a healthy mother-daughter relationship. Like, hello, you're already talking about it.
This is a really hard one because I think we all have very different ideas of healthy.
Yes.
Right. So some people think healthy means I call my mom every single day. Some people think healthy means I talk to my mom once a month. Well, some people think, you know.
I think maybe one of the things is, like, there's a very clear boundary between who I am and then who my mother is.
We're not the same. We're not the same. One functioning unit. We are right. Two different people.
And so being able to draw those boundaries of, like, this is how I feel. I'm not responsible for your feelings, but I can listen to you. I can be there to what capacity I have, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking more so of, like, mothers and daughters who are more, like, enmeshed with one another.
So then we would say that the tips for encouraging a healthy mother-daughter relationship is the same for encouraging a healthy any type of relationship.
Right. There's a clear distinction between you and the other person.
Right, which is communication, transparency, acknowledgement, intentionality, all of these things for any type of relationship, right? How am I being honest? How am I being transparent? How am I being kind and respectful?
Beautiful.
How am I doing that with my boss? How am I doing that with my mother? How am I doing that with my cat?
With my, I think that was fun. Next to impossible.
You will always disappoint your cat.
Your cat will always be dissatisfied with you.
My dog, every time I do not take him any place I am, is disappointed in me.
Oh, see, that's because dogs, I feel like, are just.
You've met my dog. He's the mopiest son of a bitch you could
ever imagine. I love him. He is such a gem.
And he's a mopey son of a bitch.
And his head is gigantic.
Hey, his head is bigger than yours. Hey. Great episode. Thank
you. Great episode.
Thanks for telling me about all the ways you've changed and grown this year.
Thank you for telling me all the ways you've grown and changed.
For anyone listening, we want you to take the time to think about what this past year has been like for you, what you want to do moving forward.
What you've learned from this year.
Who you've been, or what you've unlearned.
Beautiful.
And more than anything, thanks for checking in.
Thanks for listening. If you think this episode would be helpful to someone you know.
Who?
Or if it wouldn't be helpful at all, you could send it to them or just never send it to anyone.
That's Nikki's going to kill us.
I know. Okay. I'm so sorry.
Hey, we love you. Take care of yourself and be kind to yourself.
Hey guys, I'm Alana Dunn, and I'm the host of Seeing Other People. As an early Hinge employee, a modern dater, and now a fiancé, I know the dating world maybe a little too intimately. I'm here to make you feel less alone in your dating journey, whatever it may look like. Don't have a date for tonight? No problem. Whether you're looking for love or just want to laugh and commiserate with others, tune in to Seeing Other People as we explore the roller coaster that is the ever-evolving world of dating.